So we've been on a study called Maturing into Spiritual Adulthood. And just to kind of recap last week's message, we talked on friends, fellowship. Let me ask you this today, just to recap. Who are you spending the majority of your time with? Who are you spending the majority of your time with? And friends, I'm here to tell you today that the people you spend the majority of your time with will either help or hurt you in your walk with God. The people that you spend a lot of your time with will either hurt or help you in your walk with God. And, you know, the people we hang around and fellowship with, we become like. And so, you know, you are children of the light. We are children of the light. And it's more likely that the bad could rub off on you the good than you the good rubbing off on the bad. So we've got to be careful about our associations, our affiliations, the people that we're spending time with. Find those good, strong Christian friends that you can build relationship with. And as you do, you will grow in your walk with God. You'll become more holy like God is holy and live the righteous life that God wants us to live. But friends and fellowship is a key component. Today I want to talk about His voice. Today's subject is His voice, the voice of God. And to think about it, in the natural realm, as a baby, when you were a year, year and a half old, you were learning to distinguish your father's voice, maybe, from the voice of his brother, your uncle. Maybe your dad, your earthly father, has spoken just a slightly distinctive way than your uncle did. Maybe your dad's accent was different than your uncle's. And in my own life, my dad has a brother, and they sound a lot alike, but my dad has less of an Italian accent than his brother does. And so I learned really to distinguish his voice. And as you grew, you knew your dad's voice instantly. You knew your earthly father's voice instantly because you heard it so many times. And you know what, friends? As an obedient son, an obedient daughter, you also obeyed what your father told you to do. And that's another mark of maturity in the natural realm, is obeying what your father told you to do, as long as it was in line with the scripture. Now, to make the spiritual comparison, it's the same spiritually. As we grow in our walk with God, we need to distinguish God's voice, the Heavenly Father's voice, from other voices competing for our attention. Let me say it again. As we grow spiritually, as we mature spiritually into adulthood, we need to distinguish the voice of God, the voice of God the Father, from other voices trying to compete for our attention. Is that making sense? So let's talk about the voice of God here for the next few minutes. The voice of God. Friend, did you know that there's many voices competing for your attention in this world? There are many voices competing for your attention in this world. The voice of family, the voice of friends, the voice of the media, and even the voice of your human emotions. You might be wondering, God, what do you want me to do? Which city do you want me to move to? Should I stay at this church? Should I move? And a lot of times, family, there's a lot of times that family wants to play the part of God in your life. And you know, your family might think that it's a good idea for you to move to a certain city or to go to a certain church. But my question to you today is this: what is God directly telling you to do? What is God saying for you to do with your life and in the specific details of your life? And a lot of times in this Christian walk, being in church, I've seen people mistake the voice of their emotions for the voice of God. I've seen it in some churches where people mistake the voice of their own human emotions for the voice of God. You know, you'll hear a lot of people leaving some churches saying, man, that message just felt so good. I knew that was God speaking to me. The minister said this morning that, man, God wants me to have the latest model of this Cadillac or the biggest and most beautiful house and this great career. And man, it just felt so good leaving that church. I just knew that God was speaking to me. Was it God or was it your own emotions speaking to you and telling you that God was speaking? A lot of times people mistake their emotions for the voice of God. Because, you know, what God asks us to do a lot of times doesn't always feel really good. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So if there's somebody out there constantly telling you from the pulpit that, you know, Christianity is all about getting good things and pleasurable things, guess what? That may not be the voice of God. That might just be your own emotions feeling good and saying that it is the voice of God. Is that making sense? So don't mistake the voice of your emotions for the voice of God. Always back up what you hear with the written word of God. Is what you are hearing from the pulpit or in the media in line with the written scripture? You know, there's another voice that tries to speak to a lot of people. The voice of the emotions and then the voice of your own human mind. You know, if you're wondering about, and I've done this before, and you might be there right now, you're probably thinking about wondering what you should do in a certain area of your life. Should I move to this city? Should I leave the shelter? Should I move to this apartment? Should I start a relationship with this person? What am I supposed to do? And a lot of times, even Christians, when they're put in that position, wondering about what they should do, guess which voice they consult? The voice of their own human mind. But friends, I'm here to tell you today that the human mind is limited. We can only see so far with our human minds. We need to consult the mind of the living God because His mind is infinite. He sees so much further than we can with our own lives. See, if you consult your own human mind about what you need to do with your life, you'll end up doing a good thing. Just a good thing. And good is the enemy of best. But if you consult the mind of God about what you're supposed to do with your life, you'll end up doing the best thing. How many here want to do the best thing with their life? The God thing. Then don't consult your mind, consult the mind, the voice of Father God. Is that making sense here today? All right. And some of you may have heard this story before. I'll repeat it again. I used to do a lot of missionary work in the country of India, Southeast India, North India, and had done it for many years. And in the summer of, in 2006, the beginning of the year, I had this bright idea, man, you know what, I should go to another country and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And so a friend of mine was working with this organization, he had told me about it, I decided to call them, applied, got accepted, and was headed off to Hong Kong in the summer of 2006. And I tell you, friend, to make a long story short, it was just one of the most difficult experiences in my life. I felt like I was trudging through mud. I could hardly move. And looking back at that, I really believe that the reason it was so tough and there was so much opposition, hardly got anything done. It was just a mess up. Looking back, I really believe that I had consulted my own mind instead of the mind of God. I ended up doing a good thing, wanting to bring the gospel to Hong Kong. But the question was, did I really consult what God was wanting me to do with my life that year? And friend, if you end up doing just what your mind is telling you to do without consulting God, it's going to be pretty tough. You're going to hit some really, really tough areas in your life. It's going to feel like you're sinking in quicksand. So I encourage you to avoid what happened to me in 2006. Consult the voice, the mind of Almighty God and see what God is telling you to do. But the question remains, you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, then how does God speak? What does the voice of God sound like? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is a temple of whom? Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, your body is not your own. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in a physical building. Guess where the New Testament temple is today? It's in you and in me. And that Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us wants to speak to us the voice and the mind of God. That still small voice. How many here remember Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament? Elijah the prophet, 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, Elijah had a bunch of false prophets of Baal killed, slaughtered. Not crucified, slaughtered. And so he knew that Jezebel, the queen, this evil queen, found out about it, and she was after Elijah's life. So Elijah, in fear, goes to hide in a cave. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, and stood at the mouth of the cave. And this gentle whisper, as you read on, spoke to Elijah. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, that a lot of times, God will speak to you in your spirit, right here, in your gut, with a still, small voice of peace. With a gentle whisper of peace. So if you're wondering about a certain question, about doing a certain thing, and you go to God and say, "God, my own finite mind can't figure this out. God, should I do this thing? Should I move here? Should I start a relationship with this person? Should I take this course? Should I start this job?" And you're asking God this question in prayer, and you have a peace on the inside in your spirit that surpasses human understanding, most likely God is saying, "Yes, do that." If you're asking God that question and you have no peace on the inside, God most likely is saying, "No, don't take that path." And there's a lot of people out there in business for themselves. And back in the summer of 2010, I almost got ripped off. But thanks to God's voice, I didn't. My AC unit up on my roof was having problems. And so this certain AC technician that I saw working in the neighborhood, I asked him to come and look at it, and praying, and he asked for about, he was going to do the job the next day and replace my condenser, my compressor up there, and he was going to charge me a certain amount of money. I said, "Fine, do it. When you're done, I'll cut you a check for the whole amount." He said, "Well, I need this amount of money down." He was asking for like 80% down. It made my heart jump. And as soon as he said, "I need 80% down before I come tomorrow," something in my gut just said, "Don't do it." I had no peace on the inside. That was like the voice of God. And I didn't do it. He told me that my compressor was shot, couldn't be repaired. Didn't deal with him. I paid him for the time that he came out, but I didn't pay him for the big job. Didn't deal with him. Listened to the voice of God in my spirit. Consulted a couple of other people as well to confirm that voice, that feeling in my gut. Didn't deal with him. Found another AC technician, highly trained technician, and he actually fixed the unit for me. Thanks be to God, right? Listening to the still, small voice of peace on the inside. If God could do it for me, God can do it for you. There's pitfalls, there's traps that God is wanting you to avoid in your life, but you've got to be sensitive to the still, small, gentle whisper of peace deep down on the inside, for your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense? If God can communicate to me in that way, He can communicate to you in the same way, because the same Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you that lives on the inside of me, because we're all followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so God can speak with a still small voice of peace. Another way that God oftentimes will speak is through what? You got it, brother. The written word of God. Psalm 119, 105, we've heard it probably many times, but it bears repeating. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The word of God is a lamp, it's a light. It makes the dark ways enlightened, lit up, so you can see. How many know that at midnight this room is pitch dark? Especially if curtains were over the windows, right? It'd be pitch dark. You'd be bumping into chairs if you tried walking out in here without light, right? You'd be tripping over things, right? So forth and so on. But as soon as you switch on the light, the darkness disappears. And you can see everything in this room. There's a clear path down the middle. It's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp. The Word of God is a light. You may be going through confusion in your mind today. Some dark places, wondering what you should do, what you shouldn't do. You have a bunch of confusion in your mind. But I'm here to tell you today, if you start opening the Word of God and reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, it will make the dark areas of your life, of your mind, clear and well lit by the Word of God. Is that making sense? But in order to receive direction and God's voice through His written Word, you got to be doing what with this Word?
Studying it.
Reading it and studying it. Meditating upon the scriptures that you read. You know, it's not enough to just open up the Bible during Christmas time or Thanksgiving or Easter two or three times a year. You got to be opening this Word on a daily basis. You may not be able to read a chapter or two, but you might be able to read a scripture or two. And think about what you read. Meditate upon what you read. And, you know, there's no transfer of knowledge from the Word if you just kind of hold it here and say, you know what, God is going to speak to me through His Word. Just by holding the Word and putting it against your heart is not going to get God's Word into your heart. You got to read it with the eye gate right here. You got to read it with your eyes and meditate upon what you're reading. You know, so if you've got a Bible that's collecting dust in a bag or near your bed or on a piece of furniture, I encourage you, wipe the dust off, open it up, and start reading it. Is that good news? God wants to speak to you through His written Word. So God does speak, right? How does He speak? We talked about two ways that God speaks. With the what? The Holy Spirit, the still, small voice of peace on the inside. Number two, how? He speaks through His written Word, but you've got to know His written Word for it to speak to you, all right? And then, a spiritually maturing son or daughter of God will obey what God is telling him or her to do. God appreciates it. God the Father appreciates it when He speaks to us, and then we obey what He's telling us to do. God really does appreciate it. And another mark of a spiritually maturing adult is not only hearing the voice of God, this other mark of a spiritually maturing adult is actually doing what you hear God telling you to do. You know, it's half the puzzle hearing the voice of God. But the other half of the puzzle in this walk with God is actually obeying and submitting to what God is telling you to do. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
All right. That's the mark of a maturing Christian. If God is telling you, you know what, I want you to move to this city, and you stay here, you hear God and you know that God is telling you in your spirit, move to such and such a city, but you stay here, guess what you're doing? You're going against God's will. You're not obeying God. You're not maturing in your walk with God. Because a mature Christian obeys the voice of God. If God is telling you to stay here and you want to move to New Orleans, right? And you move to New Orleans, you're still doing the same thing. You're disobeying His voice and you're not maturing in your walk with Him. If God is telling you to go to a certain church and you don't go and you resist His voice, guess what? You're disobeying God. You're not maturing in your walk with Him. So, a couple of the ways to mature in your walk with God, to become a spiritually maturing adult, is to hear the voice of God, discern His voice amongst so many other voices, and then actually obey what the voice of God is telling you to do. That making sense? How many here want to more clearly hear the voice of God? All of us, right? It takes trial and error sometimes. Remember, don't mistake your human emotions for the voice of God. Line everything up that you feel and that you hear with the written Word of God. Amen?